Happy New Year. Let us turn in God's Word to Acts chapter 3 as we begin this new year. I would ask that we look afresh at the recreation for the whole world, this great truth that is that the very structure of all of God's great good news to us. Acts chapter 3, we break in to the middle of Peter's sermon as he speaks to these onlookers after he's healed this crippled beggar. There in Acts chapter 3, verse 17, he says, "Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders, but this is how God fulfilled what he foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Christ would suffer. Repent, then, and turn to God, so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as he promised long ago through his holy prophets." That's God's word, given long ago, and yet it gives to us, in just a few words, that whole structure of the end, the good news of what God is going to do because of what Jesus Christ has done. Recreation for the whole world. This, as I would say, is what I would see here is the structure of all the end times. Grasp it and you'll save yourself a lot of silliness. Here it is, with power, what God is going to do. Really, I'd have to say this is only a tip of the iceberg of the whole teaching of the New Testament and seeing what God is yet to do in so great a salvation. And yet it was this verse, verse 21, I remember that struck me in Latin America, with all the fanaticism going every which direction, those coming and saying, "Jesus came into my bedroom last night. He appeared in my closet last night. The night before, this happened to me out in the country. He appeared here in a vision and he came and touched my shoulder." And all of these things going on every which direction, fanaticism all around. I remember reading this, that of course, realizing that Jesus Christ as God is present with us this morning. He's here in our midst. But his human body must remain in heaven, as the text says, until he comes again bodily to restore all things. And this great truth is here given to us in Scripture. And it's important for us to realize how important his bodily resurrection is as his bodily coming again in power and glory is. It's a great salvation. Often I remind everyone that it's not just that Jesus came to wipe away my sins, but it's such a great salvation, much more than that. It's a redemption of all of creation itself, as he says in Ephesians 1, to reconcile all things to himself. Yes, a salvation of a number that no man can number, millions and millions, I dare say billions of sinners, saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. And yet, it's a new world that he's going to redeem for them to bring glory and praise to his name. Now this is the first Sunday of the year, and it's a good place to mark this year, a sign. Jesus Christ arose from the dead, and bodily he's coming again to restore all things, a glorified body that has ascended into the heavens. And it's not only that he may come again, but that he will come again to restore all things. He's reigning in heaven until that time. Until he comes, we show forth his death to all, as we have done this morning, partaking of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, remembering him. These words come to us He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything as He promised long ago through His holy prophets. This is that great cosmic redemption. Creation itself restored. God's rule, God's kingdom, God's will on earth as it is in heaven. Wow. Stop with me just a moment this morning. What's the state of things in the year 2009? We haven't written that too many times. 2009. We used to think 1984 sounded like something really weird and something wild was going to happen. 1984. And here we are, 2009. Even sounds strange. What's that which really would tell us where we are? What's our hope for today? We could talk to our bankers and what's the hope for the economy? Whenever I talk to them, they're not too optimistic. When we listen to the news, there's not much that's optimistic. Wars and all the ugliness of what's taking place in all the nations around the world. Our prisons, they just keep on growing. People don't have the answers. Where are we economically? Where are we in morals? Where are we in religions, in comparative religions? And they keep on teaching all the fluff and keep on talking about how it's all just nice, but it all keeps on going with ugliness and hatred. Construction industry going to lay off 2/3 of their employees beginning next week. Wow, what's happening? Is there hope? We talk about the cross. What was the significance of the cross in AD 30? If you understood what was going on at that time, the cross meant Rome ruled. If you get my way, you'll be obliterated. You'll be crucified. You'll be done away with. The cross signified that Rome was in charge of this place. Put up any opposition to us, and we'll take you down. No question about it. The cross signified for them not some nice Christian symbol that you wear around your neck and it's kind of pretty and nice. Not Calvary, that's real nice. But it was Golgotha, the place of the skull. Rome ruled. We Romans run this place. Don't get in our way. We'll murder you if you do. You'll be on a cross. What did it mean to the disciples even at that moment? It really came down to it that when he was crucified, died, buried, where were they? Oh, he'll be back in just a few days. Oh, well, he's up in heaven and everything's just nice. That wasn't the attitude at all. It was basically, we backed the wrong horse. We were in the wrong cause. Can we escape with our life? This ship has gone down. It didn't make it. What we thought was going to be the Messiah, what we thought was going to change the world, is ashes. But there was a big surprise. And I emphasize that word surprise. The state of things was, it was all a crash. But he arose from the dead. The witnesses, interesting, God chose them. The first witnesses, who were they? The women. They weren't even allowed to appear as witnesses, but God chose them. It was a surprise. Now someone says to me this morning, well, you can't prove the resurrection to me. That's right. But it is a reality in history. The hundreds that saw him alive testified with their lives. They died for that reality that bodily he arose from the dead. 500 at one point at the same time saw him. An atheist once, after studying all these different appearances and facts and historical things, said, yes, I can see the facts say he arose from the dead. But it didn't make him a believer. He merely responded, strange things happen in history. The problem is man's unbelief in his heart. And if you don't believe, you're condemned already. Christ bodily arose from the dead. And he didn't just appear to those who believed. In fact, to the contrary, none of those that he appeared to had believed. They'd all come to be doubters. They'd all become unbelievers. All of them. No one expected the resurrection of his body. He was dead and buried. Thomas, a doubter, he appears to. The Apostle Paul, a believer? Anything but a believer. But God changed his heart and mind, and he saw the living Christ. He was the last. But that surprise came to him. He's alive. He appeared for all to see, and there was nothing secret about it or hidden, and it was real. He ate of food. It was a bodily resurrection. We put a great deal of importance in our whole culture in Christmas, in the Incarnation. And I would not belittle the importance of the Incarnation in any way. But there is in the New Testament a resounding climax. Jesus arose bodily from the dead. He's alive. That is the great point of fulfillment of everything. He is alive. The state of things for you and me in 2009 should be that Jesus Christ is the great starting point for everything. In a very simple way, I would ask you, what is the Christian hope? What is our real good news? Certainly, we take all of God's Word, all of the Bible. We begin like we always do. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it was all good. It was very good. All that God created was not evil in any way. And man then abuses that which God created good. And we find the fall, and we find evil has come. It's not evil that we have a world of material things. There's nothing evil of this world as far as being material. There's nothing evil that we have winter or we have the beautiful trees and the leaves fall. There's nothing evil about that. Evil is that idolatry that God told man that he was to be worshipped. His word was to be the law of all laws. He was the most glorious being that there is. God is God. And man worships that which is a substitute, that which is less than God. He becomes addicted to himself and his own idolatry. That's what's evil. And yet we have that which is amazing. God has sent his own Son, Jesus Christ. Not only did he die for our sins, but he is the one who arose again from the dead. He is the one who comes as the Redeemer. The one who not only wipes clean the slate of our sins, but he also is the one who liberates us, frees us from our slavery in sin. And he liberates all of creation. He restores, as Acts 3:21 says, he is the one that is going to, yes, be restoring everything as he promised long ago. It's not just me and my things and concerning my sin, but it's all of the creation that God created good and that man brought enslavement to and groaning. God is going to, yes, redeem that. Focus just for a moment with me on Jesus Christ as he's called the first fruits of that new creation. in 1 Corinthians 15:20, Romans 8:23, and other passages, he is called that first fruits of the new creation, that body of his, that human body, that real living body of flesh and blood, of bones, and all that makes up a body, really arose from the dead. And it's the first part of the new creation. First arise from the dead, many, many more will follow. It's not some, as we have the popular term, Gnostic kind of spiritual resurrection. Some kind of feeling that people all will get to all together and he will have resurrection. This, in the New Testament, is totally different than all that New Age religion of our day. It is a bodily resurrection that's the first part of the new creation, of the new redemption of all of creation itself. This is a real body raised from the dead, transformed. Just as our bodies, as believers in Jesus Christ, will be in one sense the same and yet transformed. Yes, renewed, redeemed, our bodies themselves. Now, without dwelling more on that, I would come to the question, what does that mean to me and to you? Is that real for us? It was a real body. It wasn't ghostly. It wasn't some kind of weird story that we would tell around a campfire, a myth, or something that's up in Iron Mountain in Rogers Canyon up there that is the fire is burning and it's cold and all the young guys are huddled around and we're telling a story to scare everyone or something weird. No, this was the real resurrection. One came from the dead. Alive, bodily, he had breakfast with them. He arose from the dead and then ascended to his Father. We are to have our lives under him. He is the one who is Lord. Now I want to ask you, is the Lordship of Christ a reality in our lives? How we talk to one another, how parents talk to their children, how children talk to their parents. Is there a reality? The tone of voice of God's presence, yes. But that Jesus Christ is Lord. He arose from the dead. He is Lord of how we talk, how we think, who we are, of our bodies, how we treat our bodies. Everything about us, it's under His Lordship. It's not something you buy into because you think it's a better deal than someone else. He is Lord. Now, we do have a great deal of that in our consumer society, don't we? You know, we have it, I like this religion better than that religion, or I like this car better than that car. Or it's almost like we have the whole thing of brand names and some way or another, I like Chevys better than Fords, or somehow or another the Toyota and the Nissan, and which do you like best? And people, you know, this is my car and this is mine. I like a red Corvette. That's not what we're dealing with here. Jesus is Lord. Whether we buy into Him or not, He is the one who became victor over death itself. What do I do? It has consequences. As a Christian, all my labor is not in vain in the Lord. What I do in this life with my children, in my work, in my home, how I take care of my lawn, how I care for all the different things in life, it is not in vain in the Lord. There's continuity between this life and the next. We're saved by God's grace. But there is continuity between this life and the restoration of all things. Now let me just say a word to parents as we would talk about this. How does this have a reality in parenting? I believe this good news that Jesus Christ really arose from the dead, and there's really going to be a resurrection and restitution and, yes, restoration and recreation of all things. That makes us deal with Christ as the real Lord of life. Not too long ago, there was a survey taken. I don't understand all the details. There were some 20,000 teenagers gathered together. What a mass. And I don't know exactly how they did all this, but they did a survey among all these teens, those who had come to be committed as Christians among them, something like about 6,000 of them that they work with all these surveys. And how was it among these 6,000 that they had really come to be committed to Christ? What was it that made the difference in these teens' lives? And it was interesting, as they'd worked with all these surveys and worked in questions carefully, working with all these things, some would have thought, well, certainly, Christian schools. That wasn't what had made a difference. Many of those, in fact, it really didn't make any difference in these 20,000 that were surveyed. Others thought, probably what would have really made a difference, those who were parents, that they had devotions in their home. That wasn't really anything that really made a difference. Now, there may be a lot of good reasons for Christian schools and a lot of good reasons for devotions in the home, but it wasn't really what had made the difference. There wasn't any difference between those who were Christians and those who weren't. Or maybe it's that they really had a big, great, active youth group. Wow! 50, 100, 200 teens, or 500, or 1,000. It didn't make any difference. What did they determine as they questioned so carefully was interesting to me. It was they had parents or those in the body of Christ who talked to them about reality, daily things of reality, of living before God, economics and crisis in the world and racial problems and problems of everyday life with the Lordship of Christ and speaking to these with a reality. Isn't it true that forced devotions, forced religion, forced almost anything can become one of the ugliest things in the world? We've got to be real. Christ is real. He really arose from the dead. That reality of His presence is here and now. It's not that our brand is better than some other brand. If Ford loses buyers and Chevy gains buyers, it really doesn't make a great deal of difference. But if one leaves Christ, it's not only you're lost, but you also need to realize it doesn't change the worth of Christ. He is Lord. He's Lord of this life and the life to come. Jesus Christ is the one who is the Savior of sinners. And He has come, and we are to show in the body of Christ His reality right now. How? By loving the unlovable. How? By caring for the needy, not leaving those who are wounded, but caring for them where they are right now. He really arose from the dead, bodily. He ascended to His Father's right hand, and He will come again to restore all things. And we, all that we do right now, is not any labor that is in vain. Everything has a purpose. Our talking to our children, our working with them. When is a good time? Well, you should gather daily at your meals. Sometime or another to gather together. And there should be a time to talk. And a reality that God's Son, Jesus Christ, arose from the dead and is coming again to restore all things in this creation for His glory. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank You that we bow before You and that You are the great God who has given us the good news that Jesus Christ has come and that, yes, He died and was buried, rose again from the dead, ascended to Your right hand, and yes, is coming in power and glory. And we look forward to that restoration of all things. We thank You, Lord, that all of our labors are not in vain here and now, but will be for Your glory and for the good of Your people. We ask now, Lord, for that strength, vision, energy to do Your will on earth as it is in heaven. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen.